You're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. It's more fun to believe.
Third year bonus.
Here we go, everybody. Thank you for listening to another... what is this? I guess this is a third year bonus of Me and Paranormal You. This is Ryan Singer. I am happy to be here. I've been running around like crazy. Sorry, I know we've gone multiple weeks here without an episode of any kind. I'm trying to get caught back up, trying to catch back up. I've had just so much going on. Went to the wonderful, Southern Ohio region to do some, to work on a project with my buddy Andre Highland. Just a small little, hey, how you doing, in one of his films that he's making. That was a ton of fun. Then went and saw my first show at Red Rocks in Denver. Saw Trampled by Turtles. Saw the band Camp. Saw Erin Ray. She opened for them as they kind of co-headlined, but Trampled by Turtles closed the show. It was a birthday gift from my girlfriend. What an amazing time. One of two, I think, natural amphitheaters in the country. I don't know. Someone was trying to tell me there were more, but the Hollywood Bowl and Red Rocks. I mean, it was gorgeous. It's just so gorgeous there. It's just unbelievable how beautiful it is there. It's one of those awe-inspiring moments where you kind of just like, wow, man, the world is a beautiful place and music is a wonderful thing. Everyone loves music. Anyone who doesn't love music, we got to start doing some scientific experimentation on these people to see if they are surviving off of the black goo, which is what is rumored the reptilians survive off of. I joke. Now listen, even though I'm kidding and joking about that, I do want to get into some area here today. We're going to talk about the Havana Syndrome. The reason I want to talk about the Havana Syndrome is it's being mentioned in mainstream media lately. It's one of these things where, it's kind of like the conspiratorial and the paranormal, they've converged, they smashed into each other in the middle of an intersection, both traveling at high speeds. And the bodies of both vehicles have been mangled and intertangled together. And it just doesn't really seem like we're escaping that. So why try to, untangle the carnage and, and why not just kind of try to examine and move forward the best we can and understand that, maybe all things do happen for a reason. If you look at it from the long game kind of point of view. Now, it wasn't all that long ago. I think I talked about it a while ago. I made a new friend. And this friend and I had a 2-hour conversation on the phone one night. And it's been a little while. I took some notes, actually. Let's pause that. And we're back. Sorry about that. I had the notes in front of me the whole time. Someone reached out to me, talked about how they believed they were a djinn, that they were a shapeshifter. And then we got into conversations about lots and lots of things. Now, I don't feel at this time that I should be, talking about this person necessarily in a way that, that goes with like out there, their consent, right? To be sharing the intimate personal details, but there's some scary stuff that, gets brought up, in this person's past, and things that are beyond their control when it comes to being studied, experimented on, etc. Now, some people are going to immediately write this kind of thing off. They're not going to believe the stories of these people. That's not what we do here. So it was a little over a year ago, I believe, that we talked on the phone, and unfortunately this person's not in good health. Anticipated passing on to the next form at any moment. And I reached out via email not long after and never really heard back. And So I just kind of, you know, what do you do in that situation? I guess you kind of think, well, this person may no longer be with us, right? And so something was, that was over a year ago, last time I checked in. May of 2020. Something was nagging me recently. And actually, I'm looking through the email chain now, and maybe they did get back to me. But I wanted to reach out to this person again. Something was bothering me, not necessarily bothering, but I was like, I need to know if they're doing okay, if they're still here. So I shoot an email a couple days later. I'm very happy to report I did get a response. And got a response from this person. And they're still holding on. It doesn't sound like it's the most enjoyable experience, this life currently at these stages. But I can say, I guess I can talk about, what really sparked this interest in, you know, even kind of trying to go down the rabbit hole in the Havana syndrome. And not to mention, I got 3,000 pages of UFO files that I downloaded from the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA's websites. Trying to comb through those, when does a person have the time for all that? I don't exactly know. But, you know, there's something about all the things that we do, whether we've been randomly inspired to do them or we've been purposefully inspired. I think that they're happening for a reason. We go down these rabbit holes. We go down these investigative pathways for a reason, because eventually, even though it might seem years later or might take years later, I think eventually, you know, if we're lucky and if we're paying attention and we're keeping our eyes and ears open enough, we understand that there's connections. And I think we would all agree that the greatest stories, the ones that have the most substance and are very rich and enthralling, they don't just happen in, they're not just something that happens in 24 hours that gets solved in 24 hours and it's all wrapped up, right? I mean, that might happen on certain television programs, but that's just not the way the real life works. And there's real people involved, right? Which is a huge difference. There's real people who are suffering real pain, having real experiences, and things like that. Now, you know, Lou Elizondo, I don't know why this is coming to my mind right now, but, you know, he's popping all over the place. He's in the circuit. He's the disclosure guy all of a sudden. I'm not on board with Lou Elizondo, and I just don't really care to get on board with that. And, you know, maybe my mind will be changed. But it doesn't seem like, I'm that interested in anything that guy's got to say. He's really pushing the fear agenda. I hate that. I don't like that, as you know. And UFOs are, you know, they're a threat to our national security, et cetera, et cetera. And people are putting them on their shows. And, you know, it's not their responsibility to control what their guests say or think. And that's not what I'm suggesting, but I'm just not interested in the Lou Elizondo angle. And, you know, maybe I'll try to reach out to him and see if, and I don't think, you know, he's kind of like the voice piece, the mouthpiece right now for disclosure, right? He's positioned himself pretty well in that way. I don't think he wants to come on here and have like a discussion about why I think that he's fear mongering. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he would be interested in having that discussion. Outside of the argument of like, you're naive, I know things you don't know, I've seen things you haven't seen, and we should be afraid. Is that one of the arguments? Sure. I hypothetically, that could be one of the arguments. So, but then, you know, when are we going to get a public debate between Lou Elizondo and Dr. Stephen Greer? When are we going to get a public debate? I'll mediate a public debate or a debate between those two. And, try to keep it as civil as humanly possible. which I'm sure wouldn't be that big of a problem. They're both grown-ups, right? Anyway, back to what we were discussing originally. This friend of mine who I was very thankful, even though I think it might be selfish of me, considering they anticipate with relief the end of this human form that they're in because of the pain they're in physically. So that's why I say it's selfish of me to be glad that I received an email, because I think if it were up to them, they would probably just, you know, move on to the next thing. You know what I mean? But I was glad to receive an email and get a response. They indicate that the Havana syndrome, they suspect they were a test subject for this for decades ago. And this person can barely walk or stand anymore, and used to be very active, etc., and then just kind of unexplainably, you know, broke down. Among other things, when we're talking about, you know, being studied potentially at, well, not potentially, according to this person, at UCLA Medical Center. And this is not during the parapsychology lab window, although I suspect there's that even though the parapsychology lab at UCLA, I believe indications are that it shut down at the end of the 70s, 78 maybe. Anyway, I suspect that something else maybe still was operating. I mean, you know, there's labs and research facilities studying things all the time. And all you have to do is watch the television program Manifest, which I can't believe I'm hooked into, but I've been watching it. You know, to understand that there, you know, there's research facilities and there's these, this phenomena is real. I had a phone conversation with, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me try to make a note so I can remember this. I had a phone conversation as I was driving across the country with Carolyn from Florida. We talked for a good hour. And, you know, I don't have like any breaking news to deliver you or things like that. But there are some things regarding the paranormal and all that stuff that we discussed that I think are important to get to and touch base, because I will be going back there and potentially even staying the night. Oh, boy. Can you believe that? I'm not sure I can. So anyway, this person, this friend of mine, they were talking about, they were studied at UCLA Medical Center. A lot of information and how Project Paperclip even ties into the research that was being done at UCLA at the time. You know, and there's, what is it, the USB stuff, you know, like, was it Targ who developed it? Russell Targ, who's got the app? I've got the app. It's ESP Trainer. I've got it on my phone. It's called ESP Trainer. Shape, we're talking about Shapes game, playing a Shapes game, was part of the testing at UCLA. And, you know, gave me a bunch of names of people, including doctors. And then you get into the idea of getting 5150'd, and which is, you just don't like to hear those numbers. 5150, if I'm not mistaken, it's when you're committed to a hospital and you don't have control over it, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, there's lots of things going on, and when it ties into the Havana syndrome, which has now been reported in the news, in fact, there is an article on NBCNews.com, even of all places, as recently as, was this today, July 20th? No. Yeah, July 20th. Written by Ken Delanian, Josh Lederman, and Courtney Cube, as many as 200 Americans have come forward to describe possible symptoms of directed energy attacks, part of a wave of fresh reports that includes newly identified incidents around the world. A U.S. official with knowledge of new potential cases of so-called Havana syndrome said a steady drumbeat of cables has been coming in from overseas posts reporting new incidents, often multiple times each week. A recent and previously unreported incident in Berlin cut short at least one diplomat's term in Germany. U.S. officials and others briefed about the matter said. Another person who was briefed this month about recent incidents said, it is global, but there seems to be an awful lot going on in Europe. Now, I think the first reports of this were, if I'm not mistaken, at least specifically regarding the Havana Syndrome in U.S., we're talking about CIA, people who work for the CIA employees, the Department of Defense, in Cuba and at the embassies, at the United States Embassy in Cuba and Canadian Embassy in Cuba also had reports of this happening, the unknown cause of these ailments. And the Cuban government eventually, you know, reacted, said it was, you know, this is a lie, you know, things like this, we're not doing this. They offered somewhat 3,000 people or something to help investigate the case, these cases. And then they said the United States government was not cooperating in a way that would have allowed them to fully investigate these claims by not offering access to the people's homes, etc., so they could study. Some people, there's a guy, Dr. Bartholomew, who's this guy? Let me find this guy again. Let me find this fucking guy. I shouldn't say this fucking guy. But he's one of these guys, you know what I mean? He's one of these people who he's not into anything outside the state of what science can talk about and explain as being possible. He's a guy who studies mass hysteria, psychogenic, I believe. Where is this guy? I was just going down a rabbit hole on this bastard. And I shouldn't call him a bastard. He's probably a very nice guy. Why don't I just do a control find and we'll get to it. Saying, yeah, mass psychogenic illness expert Robert Bartholomew and Robert Balla, among others, argued against the microwave theory and proposed that the syndrome is an example of a mass psychogenic illness. He expressed incredulity at State Department Medical Director Dr. Charles Robenfarb's testimony that the department had, quote, all but ruled out mass hysteria as a cause. In support of his stance, Bartholomew argued that in many of the cases, the sounds reported by diplomats have been identified as the sound of insects, that the reported symptoms are common among many patients, and that the NAS report failed to reference evidence that the pattern of spread of the outbreaks is consistent with a psychogenic illness explanation. Regina Verma of the University of Pennsylvania Perelman School of Medicine, who was the co-lead author of the 2019 JAMA study, considered a, quote, wholly psychogenic or psychosomatic cause, end quote, to be very unlikely given the researchers' findings. Now, Bartholomew doesn't have to prove that it's psychogenic, right? This is the ace up the sleeve of the skeptic when it comes to all these things. They say the burden of proof is on you to prove something. Meanwhile, they go around and speculate about all the other things that they think it probably is, even though they're not giving you any burden of proof or not proving that it is that thing. That is the comfortable seat of the skeptic who's unwilling to expand their mind or their creativity or their imagination in any way, which prevents further growth and evolution of the human consciousness, in my opinion. I mean, am I being too harsh? Was that too harsh? I'd love to have Bartholomew on the program explain to me why he's so confident that this is psychogenic illness. So, what is Havana Syndrome, you might be wondering, Ryan, and why are we even talking about it? Well, I think we're talking about it because it comes with, you know, the unseen, right, and the unknown. And we're talking about energy, essentially, in microwaves, frequencies, these kinds of things. Havana, it's a set of medical signs and symptoms. That dates back to as late as 2016. But like I said, it originates out of Cuba, initially these first cases. You know, 10 U. And in fact, it's being taken seriously for sure. You know, 10 U.S. senators have proposed a Senate bill that would close a loophole in the Federal Employees Compensation Act, which would not normally cover damage to organs such as the brain and heart. This act would authorize the CIA director and the Secretary of State to provide financial support for people who suffer brain injuries. The bipartisan bill unanimously passed the Senate in June 2021, last month. So less than a month ago, or around a month ago, this bill passed. So it's being taken seriously. And people in the government want to take care of themselves. So, you know, they want to take care of each other. That's for sure, right? So when it comes to things like this, if this was just like, if this was a factory that was poisoning the water supply of a local community, I don't know, maybe Flint, Michigan, who knows how long it would take to get to this thing. And, you know, 2016 is 4 years ago, that's for sure. So it's not like this happened yesterday and this bill was passed. But we're talking about 200 cases, right? And we're talking about the bill has already was unanimously passed in the Senate, bipartisan support. So what does it mean? Likely caused by directed microwaves, right? So why does Cuba have this technology and why are they using it against the United States and Canada? Well, if we've been paying attention to what's going on in Cuba right now, we know that things are not great. And we know that the people are rising up yet again from the oppressive government down there. So why does Cuba want us out of there? Why do they want people out of there who can maybe be paying attention to what's going on and what they're doing down there? You know, that's not this, you know, here's the thing. Here's where we get, it gets, all of this is so, you know, intersectional. I mean, there's so many different things converging, right, that make this so complicated and difficult to understand you know, and I'm certainly not a geopolitical expert in any way. So, you know, but if you're doing some bad shit in your house, you probably don't want people there hanging around. You want as few people there as possible hanging around to witness it. You know, so your neighbors don't start knocking on your door being like, hey, you need to turn down your stereo. It's really bothering the rest of us. Or, you know, we notice that your kid is crying all the time. So we're going to have to come in here and make sure you're taking care of your kid. Okay. Our child services are going to show up, or animal control are going to show up, you know, if you're beating your dogs and things like that. But if you don't have anybody noticing that, or if you have, you know, as few people as possible, you know, noticing that, that's probably to your benefit, right, if you want to continue to do it. But since when is Cuba this leading force in the world of, you know, of next wave technology and weaponry? That's never really been, you know, what people have associated the Cuban government for. So what we have is, you know, there's a connection to Russia. So is it tied into Russia? You know, and I'm not a big fan of trying to make Russia the boogeyman. Russia and China are the boogeyman. I mean, that's Fox News's job. They want to make Russia and China the boogeyman. They do it every day. They do a pretty darn good job, according to, you know, people in my life that do nothing but watch that television network. Russia and China are, they are the devil incarnate. I'm not pushing that narrative forward here on this program. And I think you probably already knew that anyway. So are there people, and like my friend who reached out to me, who were unwittingly the test subjects for what we're now seeing reported in the news as Havana syndrome. And this kind of goes into the secret government operations, right? And why does the government always want to use every technology as a weapon, as opposed to propelling humankind forward? We weaponize technology before we use it to the betterment of all people. it seems to be an inherent flaw in the human creature, that at the very least we've let the people in charge make that decision for us as far as technology goes. And this is why I think disclosure is such an important topic, if not the most important issue that's ever faced humanity, when we are not alone in the intergalactic universe. And, you know, they will not intervene in our personal affairs. All we have to do is all decide that we don't want to take it anymore. It's really that simple. I think it's really that simple. We just all collectively decide we no longer are going to let the heads of our states, these imaginary lines drawn in the sand, and it's very troubling. And my voice went up. I must be really. It's very, very troubling, the rise in nationalism in the United States. Very, very troubling. People I never would have thought in any way whatsoever are now like, U.S. above all else at all costs. Protect ourselves. Destroy everyone else if needed. It's like, what the fuck is happening, right? It's been happening now for years, right? And so what you have here is you have the collective people, the masses, have agreed to let these heads of state keep disclosure from us and use advanced technology, breakthroughs in science, like the Havana Syndrome, or whatever causes the Havana Syndrome, if in fact it is microwave weapons, that cause brain damage and then death. We let them be in charge and we let them do this. And we just kind of like close our eyes to it maybe and move on. But I mean, how many of my friends who aren't in the paranormal that I grew up with even know about any of this stuff? Less than 10%, assuredly. So it's a difficult conversation, right? I saw an old friend of mine I've known since grade school, last month, back when I was in town, in Southern Ohio, and we went out and had dinner with my brother, and he and I were talking afterwards when we were in the parking lot of our cars, and, talking about UFOs and stuff, and I'm going to be honest, it was as if he hadn't heard anything about UFOs, right? As if it was all kind of like this really crazy new concept. And that, like, it was a great reminder to me that I'm, like, in this world to the point where, you know, none of this stuff is new, right? I just assume everybody knows about this and just already believes when, in fact, that's... it's not the case whatsoever. So we need UFO outreach. UFO outreach is awful. It's just really bad. How many UFO groups do you know that do even a passable job of outreach and trying to bring people in to, bring them in on the information that's already available to everybody, but they wouldn't know it unless someone showed it to them? There's just no such thing as good UFO outreach or paranormal. I mean, the paranormal outreach is better. That's for sure. There's better paranormal outreach when it comes to ghosts. You need your house cleansed, things like that. There's actually a decent amount of that. But when it comes to the UFO and alien outreach, it's just... the only thing people got is Hollywood movies and TV programs, and not even Hollywood anymore. I mean, filmed Canada, everywhere else. So, media, the movies and television. And what messages have been predominantly coming through that medium is that of the malevolent intelligence that we must protect ourselves from, that are a threat to national security and our survival. And endanger us as a creature on this planet. What movie did I just watch? It's that new Chris Pratt movie, The Tomorrow War. Pretty good movie, but I mean, same thing. No spoilers, but it's a It's a bad alien, right? It's a bad alien. Oh, it's a bad alien. So, this is the predominant message that has been coming through our televisions and radios for years. I mean, War of the Worlds is obviously the penultimate example. Now, it almost makes you wonder, like, you know, if you really want to go into the conspiratorial mindset, you could be like, it was War of the Worlds, was it a psyop? And I'm not here to tell you it's a psyop. Because I honestly don't know, and I would be very shocked if it was a psyop. You know what? One of these days I'm hoping I can maybe get my friend back on the phone and we can talk about some of this stuff. But I mean, it's pretty dark stuff. Because it's been a while since we chatted on the phone. I tried to take a few notes as we were talking just so I could have some memory of it, but it's dark stuff. And it's scary. And it's one of these things where, you know, most people might be like, oh yeah, this might be better off left alone. And I think that is the case with man, or with humans, as opposed to extraterrestrials. My guess is that the darkness and the scary, scary stuff generates from humans. And I'm disappointed, because I was unable to swing by my buddy Greg's place in Colorado. I was supposed to do that this past week, and I didn't get a chance to do it. So it's, you know, saddens me a little bit. But I will be heading out there at some point here in the very near future, and hanging out with him and Mama Sue. And obviously, we'll get the mics out, and I think I'll be going to the location that we've talked about. So I'll have updates on, you know, the UBD Ranch, Mutilation Ranch, as some people are calling it, Unusual Bovine Deaths, and what it means about Fitz. That's Friends in the Sky. That's what they've been called. That's what they refer to them as. And Oma, also known as Bigfoot. And so we'll be updating that. I'm still locking in on this interdimensional portal might be the key to all of these things. All paranormal phenomena might be located in and around some kind of portal of some kind. And does that mean that hauntings of, you know, let's say tragic deaths of a spirit, does that mean there's a portal there? I don't know. We have to figure that out. I have to try to figure that out somehow. I mean, I don't know how I figure that out, but, you know, we're going to try to figure that out. Maybe the presence of a portal nearby allows for spirits to, therefore, maybe it's kind of like a battery charger or like a charging station, potentially. I don't know. And I think these portals are probably almost everywhere. I mean, there's not like six portals probably on the planet. I'm guessing there's a lot more than that. And portals can be created by human beings. Speaking of which, I was talking with Carolyn on the phone, and we were talking about me coming back to Florida and how she really believes I need to stay the night. And I happen to agree with her. My therapist happens to agree with her as well. So I'm going to be heading back down there at some point here in the very near future, because I'll be in Florida. I'll be announcing more tour dates soon, but Florida's going to be on the list. Before the 23rd of October, which is the recording of the comedy special at the Post Town School in Ohio, the old haunted school, after a couple nights of investigation. I do want to let you know, I've been keeping a journal, keeping a log. My girlfriend and I have been doing this here at the apartment since the 26th of June, We have a kitchen light that turns on. And it's interesting. Right now we've got, let's see here, roughly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 13 entries in less than a month. And here's the, and I've been writing the time stamps down on these. June 26th, 8:21 p.m. June 26th, 9:21 p.m. June 28th, 8:39 p.m. June 29th, 8:04 p.m. June 30th, 9:40 p.m. July 1st, 9:41 p.m. Almost exact same time. July 3rd, 8:45 p.m. Somewhere between 8:45 and 9:11 p.m. turned on. July 5th, 8:01 p.m. July 8th, somewhere between 5 o'clock and 5:13 p.m. July 9th, my birthday, 12:07 p.m. July 9th, 7:55 p.m. July 18th, there's a gap there because we were both out of town driving across the country. July 18th, 3:57 p.m., turned on and off twice. July 18th, I think that's 18th, not 8th, yeah, 8:05 p.m. So we're keeping a log. I mean, if you're having weird activity happen in your house, I mean, I suggest keeping some kind of log, and then maybe someday a pattern will emerge. It seems like roughly around 8 p.m., somewhere between 8 and 10 p.m., this is happening every night. I not every night, but I mean, it's happening a lot to the point where it definitely has our attention, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I have to research further about the history of this particular apartment. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We're hearing noises last night, but I'm 95% sure it was the neighbors. But you never know. I got to burn some stuff in here tonight. I'll burn some stuff. Or you can feed the spirits. If you want more activity, you can do the thing where you feed the spirits. Something from which you ate. And then also some kind of liquid, whether it's alcohol or whatever. So, you know, and let them know that you're here to, you know, you're feeding them, offering them things to better engage with them and to have them, you know, bring you some activity. I'd be careful about, you know, making sure you are very specific in the type of activity you're requesting. That's for sure. I think that's encouraged, and probably some good advice. So what's funny is during my conversation with Carolyn, she says, "Let me ask you some questions." And I said, "Okay." And she says, "Have you had any kind of unusual activity happening around you lately?" And I was like, you know, it's unusual, but it's unusual enough to where I started keeping a journal. Because who knows how many times it turned on before I actually started keeping a journal, right? And I explained the situation, and she starts laughing. She starts laughing because it's a ceiling fan in the kitchen that has a light in the middle of it. And I was like, "Why are you laughing?" And she goes, "That happens all the time over here. We have a ceiling fan with a light. It's always turning on by itself." And I've got my suspicions about my girlfriend and you know, some abilities and things that may be happening. Carolyn asked me if I'm a conduit, if in fact I'm not paying enough attention to what's generating from me and just kind of blowing that off when in fact there's some action there. So I'm trying to pay attention to that, try to be more mindful. We're all very powerful, paranormal people. So it's just a question of, do we tap into it? Do we accept it? And do we get out of the skeptic chair for a minute and let our imagination and our creativity and our consciousness envelop us and all the possibilities that lie therein? Thanks for listening. Again, sorry about like the 3-week absence. Goodness gracious. Thanks again to the patrons, $1 or $3 a month, patreon.com/RyanSinger. I post bonus videos, bonus things. My buddy Alex Mistretta and I are going to be going to a place where there's a ton of UFO activity very, very soon out here in Southern California. So I'm sure I'll be posting some photos and some video of that, maybe even some audio. But yeah, so hope you're doing well. I hope you're taking care of yourself. I hope you're loving yourself. I love you. I hope you are loving yourself in the way you should be. Unconditionally is the answer to that. Don't let your mind go somewhere else. Although, you know, you do you. You do you. You know, no judgment here. Give me a follow on Instagram, @RyanSing. We are starting beta testing. We, you know, by the time this goes up, who knows, maybe we've started beta testing already. The app Crystallize, so... You do, we're on target. We got people playing around with it. We are rolling that out. If you are expecting a link to be beta testing, show a little patience, please. We are rolling it out. We just couldn't roll it out to, you know, thousands and thousands of people all at the same time. So, you know, it's not too late to get on the waiting list to get the free stuff. So crystallize.app/early access. Again, thanks. I hope to see you at a show. RyanSingerComedy.com/tour has some tour dates already posted. Like I said, I'm adding Florida and adding some other southeastern dates as well before October 23rd, which we'll be filming the comedy special at the Old Post Town School in Post Town, Ohio, which is part of Middletown. If you've seen Hillbilly Elegy, it's in that area. Very excited about the creative team that is on board with this. I can't really talk about it because I don't think it's confirmed. But if the chips are going to fall as they may, and it's going to be very exciting to announce where those chips fell and what those chips' names are. Anyway, if I don't see you at one of those shows or on the internet somehow, somewhere, the Mind Line is still up and running. 818-839-0539 or something, I believe. I just checked it for the first time in like 8 months, and there's a couple voicemails on there. I can't play the voicemails because damn GarageBand, it like fucks up the audio on them. I gotta figure out a way around that. If anybody is a tech whiz and knows all this kind of stuff, hit me up. I'd love to figure that out. Okay, in the meantime, take care of yourself, and if I don't see you at a show, I'll see you at the watering hole on the astral plane.